Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Healing of the Nations, Revelation 22, 1-5. And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no lamp by day or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. We get another view of the New Jerusalem. Really, it's just the ongoing description that we've seen from the previous chapter. There's a river. This river is the expression of life, flowing water, so important to the people of the Middle East. And it becomes a declaration of God. In Ezekiel's vision, there's a flowing river from the temple that starts ankle deep and knee deep, and then finally the person is washed away in it. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaks of him as being a fountain or a stream unto eternal life. There's a fullness that's in that. And we see the continual picture of the New Jerusalem as this river that's flowing from God's throne. The tree of life, 12 kinds of fruit. This is a reference to perpetual fruitfulness. Yielding its fruit each month. Wow. I don't know of any fruit trees that yield their fruit each month, but this is a new space. And the leaves are healing for the nations. What we begin to see is that Revelation ties together so much of the biblical record. This idea of nations was Old Testament and New Testament theme. When God starts over with a new family, the original family fails. He starts over with Israel, and he begins with Abram, calls him out, and leads him in the process of becoming Abraham. And he says to Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation, and through you I will bless the nations. This flow continues for the people in Exodus 19, that it says that they are to be a priestly kingdom or a priestly nation, drawing the other nations in. Isaiah, the prophet, gets a word from the Lord rebuking the people because they've not been a light to the nations. And Jesus comes along. God starts over once again because his people don't do it. His plan is fulfilled in Jesus, and Jesus' commission is that we would go out and make disciples of all nations. It's been ramping up all along, and Revelation finds its fulfillment in those great throne scenes in Revelation 4 and 5. We have every tribe and language and nation there giving praise to the Lord. And from this space of nation healing, we get to see his face, that declaration coming, fulfillment of the Aaronic blessing, that the Lord's face would shine upon you. His name is on our foreheads. That's an identity piece. Goes back to Genesis. Will we allow God to give us a name, or will we try to create a name for ourselves? They will reign forever and ever. Our original vocation. When Adam and Eve were put into the garden, they were to have dominion and rule and to reign. And we see the struggle of that and how Jesus comes back and gives that back to us. But now we're going to reign in perfection forever and ever, all for the glory of Jesus and out of the declaration of the wonder of his name. What's my so what when I come to this passage? It's a reminder to be alert to all the sovereign movements and threads throughout Scripture. I like to read the Scripture every morning, passage by passage. I don't like to do multiple chapters anymore. I find it's just hard for me to digest. It's like taking a whole big piece of meat and trying to swallow it. I like to chew on it and go in. But over the years of having read the full scripture and read these individual passages in their context over time, more and more I'm amazed at the connections in between. Basically, it's a declaration that God is telling an incredible story over thousands of years that will go on both now and forevermore. The now what out of that is another declaration to trust. I guess I'm never going to go tired of this exhortation in my life to trust the Lord. Why? Because there's always a temptation to have anxiety in this world and to allow the circumstances around me to dictate my sense of well-being. Why? If God's telling a better story and I'm a part of that story, I can trust him and know that he has a great conclusion coming, even though I might not see it in the middle of the story. And so declarations like this, that where I see the arc of the biblical record, it gives me courage to trust when I don't see the full arc of what God is doing in my life at any moment. Lord, it's incredible to be engrafted into your story. We all are. Some of us just don't get the privilege of realizing it. Thank you for opening our eyes. And today, as we become aware of that, we pray that a level of trust would just flow over us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.